How are you guys? Are you all very, very well? And very, very excited about being here? Yes. Okay. Now, our first week back, we spoke about anxiety. And remember, I don't know who was here, but we had a visiting speaker, Professor Terry Lindhart, and he shared that he suffered from anxiety. And the one thing that he suffered with is that would keep him up at night would be the fact that they had a basement, and he was always afraid that his basement would flood. And one day it did flood. And once he'd cleaned it up, he actually realized that it wasn't such a bad thing. I mean, it wasn't good, but it wasn't the end of the world. And then Pastor Mark, last week, he preached on fear. And remember, he spoke about he rode his motorbike to a big intersection, and this guy, this paraplegic, walked across the road, and God told him to get off his bike and go pray for the man. And the lights turned green, and Pastor Mark popped a wheelie right across, a very impressive wheelie across the intersection to the other side, and he didn't stop and pray. And the reason why he didn't stop and pray was that he was afraid that if he prayed for the man, nothing would happen. So he was afraid of failure. Now, I'm speaking on a very depressing subject today. I'm speaking on depression. That was cute, hey? That was clever, hey? Hey, Micah, my supporter. Okay, so let me first tell you how awesome our brains are before I go into depression. Your brain works 24 hours a day. Who knew? I thought it was awake while you're awake, and then when you went to sleep, it went to sleep. But no, for 24 hours, your brain works every day. So whatever you think of, the 30 to 70,000 thoughts that you think of in a day, when you go to sleep at night, your brain starts processing those thoughts and trying to work out, like, should I remember this? Can I forget it? How important is it? Your thoughts control you. You control your brain. Did you know that? I always thought that your brain controlled your thoughts. But no, what you want to think about, you tell your brain to think about. Okay, so whatever you think about most controls you. So if you think about girls all day, if you think about boys all day, that's going to control you. You're going to look up, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to make sure your hair's all cool and your pants are all smart and your tackies are all nice and white and your hat's the right way around. Okay, so what you think about controls you. It takes 21 days for a thought to become a permanent thought. How scary is that? For 21 days, if somebody says, if you feel like I'm not good enough, and tomorrow somebody tells you, are you stupid? And then you think, you see, I'm not good enough. And after 21 days, that thought becomes who you are. That's really scary. But what is awesome is that it takes 21 days to break that pattern, to break that thought pattern. So as much as you can think for 21 days a negative thought, you can actually overcome it after 21 days. Your brain is like plasticine and can heal itself. I've heard about a story where a very bright young lady, was in a car accident, and she was brain damaged. Her parents prayed for her. She got a lot of help. Do you know that young girl healed, and she was actually better. She was even cleverer than when before the accident happened. Her brain could heal itself. Isn't that awesome? Then, when you learn something new, the structure of your brain changes. So every time you learn something new, your brain changes. It doesn't stay the same. And this is really sad. 75 to 95% of cancers, tumors, are caused due to negative thinking. So if you don't want a brain tumor, if you don't want cancer, start thinking positively. Okay, so our brains are really awesome. But sometimes things go wrong. Okay, let me tell you what depression is, just in case you don't know what it is. Depression is a state of feeling sad, a mood disorder marked especially by sadness, inactivity, difficulty with thinking, and concentration. A significant increase or decrease in appetite and time spent sleeping, feeling of dejection and hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal thoughts. Okay, so if you're just tired today, it doesn't mean you're depressed. And sometimes we just get sad. There's no reason why we get sad. We just get sad. That doesn't mean you're depressed. But when a whole lot of those are together, then you need help. Okay. So how does depression actually capture us? How does it actually take a hold of us? It's what we think about. It's what we think about the most that that causes it. It's our toxic thinking. And let's face it, some of us do a lot of that. Like, I'm sure some of you have thought these thoughts. I could have done better. I should have done better. I would have done better if only I was a better person or a cleverer person. If I'm not good enough, I always mess up, I'm an idiot, or I'm stupid. Have you ever thought anything like that? Raise your hand if you've had one of those thoughts. Oh, come on, I bet you've had that thought at least once in your life. No. Okay, so remember, what you think about is what you become. The brain gives more attention to negative experiences over positive ones because negative events pose a chance of danger. So God created us to first be interested in the danger. Okay, so we respond to negative quicker because often there's a dangerous element. I mean, can you imagine standing in front of a bus? The bus is driving towards you and you're laughing because there's a bus coming to hit you. No, there's the fight or flight reaction. You see a bus and you panic and you get a fright and you jump out of the way. God did that so that we wouldn't be harmed. But unfortunately, our brains prefer negative thoughts stick quicker than positive ones. So if you're watching TV and there's a whole lot of negative stuff on TV, Facebook, there's tons of stuff on Facebook. People's statuses. I mean, I don't know how many of you have read your friend's statuses. Some of that stuff is depressing. There's that one thing about animals, and I love animals. Birds, wild animals, cats, dogs, I love animals. And there's all those things about dogs, and this dog has been starved for a week, and you see the bones, and he's really terrible, and then after a week, then they show you how this dog has come through, and he's fat, and he's waiting for a home. You've seen those on those really get to me. Okay, so I just go past those because I can't cope. We must be more careful about what we think. We must choose what we listen to. Music, same thing. There's a lot of music about I hate you and I've broken up with you and I'm out with your friend. That is really hectic because that's what, you know, you listen to that stuff and eventually you start believing that stuff, that it's okay, I can cheat, it's cool. We must check what we think about. Let me tell you, as young as you are, what you think about will ultimately determine who you are. Now, let me tell you a bit about my story. This is what happened to me. When we become hyper-focused on the negative, we have a hard time seeing, hearing, or feeling positive. At the time when I started feeling a bit depressed, because I suffer with depression, but I think what happened to me was the whole Oscar Pistorius' trial was coming on, and everybody was talking about it, and, you know, I wanted to be cool, I wanted to, like, know what everybody else knows, and so I started reading about him, and I started researching some of the stuff that he had done and thought, and then Zuma's stuff came out with Ntlantla, and I was reading that, and then there was all these diseases and floods, and I became so hyper negative because I was reading this stuff. Now, knowledge is good, but I think it can become a negative thing too. And so I became, and people would tell me, Debbie, you look great today, and I couldn't feel great. People would say stuff and hear stuff, and I couldn't get out of this hole. And as you're young as you are, I pray that that if you're feeling negative and sad, that you'll be able to. And I pray that some of these things that I teach you today will help you. Okay, so I want to do a little exercise with you. Yeah, could you put one on each table? And I want you just to turn it over. There's only three. So it's a little exercise that I want you to look at and to read. What negative thoughts come to mind when you read the message? So, can you read the message? I don't want to see smiles because it's not funny. What negative thoughts came to mind when you read that? Someone's incapable of loving me? Yes, that becomes very personal, hey? ow, how would you like to know that you've loved somebody and they didn't love you back? Ouch, that's painful. This table, Micah.
It's a very poor use of poetry, but...
Very poor use of poetry.
That's quite sad as well, but on a more serious note, I think it's quite harsh to do something like that because they feel like inadequate almost. Yeah, quite.
It's almost like it's like a joke. They're like pulling the Mickey out of you. Hey, they're like violet, roses are red, and then you're like, oh, this is romantic. Violets are blue. I love you. No, I never loved you. That's kind of harsh. Hey. But now I'm going to ask you to do the opposite. What positive thoughts did you get out of that? Little bit harder, because now you've learned the negatives. What positive thing can you get out of that?
It shows the true colors of a person. At least now you know it was not who he really was.
That's right. Now you get to know the real person behind it.
I'm single and ready to mingle.
I'm single and I'm ready to mingle.
Oh, it shows the honesty of the person, at least.
It shows the honesty of the person. Yes. And let's ask Micah. Let's see if Micah can find a positive out of this.
If I was receiving this message and if there were any positive thoughts, then at least, you know, I could have that person out of my life. And also, like, they're very clever because, like, the way they constructed the thing is quite clever. So, yeah. As well.
So, it actually was very hard to find something positive out of that thing after you found all the negatives, eh? Well, that's how God has wired our brains, to see the negative first. But this is what God has said. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now you choose life so that you and your children may live. So God has given us a choice. You have a choice of life or death. Death would be depression, I would say. And life would be having a good life, being positive, going out after your dreams. And God has said, I'm giving you the choice. You can choose. And I could have chosen. Unfortunately, I chose wrong. I chose to fear and to not trust God in this matter. Now, when you see this glass, okay, what do you see when you see the glass? Okay, I'll ask Christelle again.
Half a glass of water.
Half a glass of water. What do you see? Half a glass of water, obviously. Okay, let me see. I'm going to ask you, what do you see?
It's clear.
It's clear.
What do you see?
Half empty.
Half empty. Ashley, what do you see? Oh, that's clever, Ash. Yeah. Okay, so some of us see it's half full, and some of us see it's half empty. Okay. Can I ask you to start looking at things? Now your mind will immediately goes, it's half empty, obvious. Okay, that's your mind works like that. But can you retrain your brain and say, no, I'm not going to think like this. It's half full. And do what Ashley does, where Ashley says, no, it's full. Okay, it's not full of water, but it's full. There's air and water. This is, to me, one of the most powerful quotes I've read in a long time. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if you're facing this mountain and there's a cliff and it's jagged and it's high and you've got to climb it, some of us will say, obviously I can't climb it. It's too high. And no, I can't. And guess what? You're right. You can't climb it. But then you get people who say, you know, it's really high, it's jagged, but you know what? I've got the ropes. I've got people who can support me. You know what? I'm going to take one step at a time, and I'm going to see what happens. The next minute, you're up at the top. Who's ever had a day like this? My son, Drew, I'm picking on you, but Drew had homework on Thursday, I think it was, and it was a lot of homework. And I thought he was up till 10 o'clock, okay? He tells me it wasn't, it was at 8 o'clock, but it felt like he was up till 10 o'clock, and he had so much homework, and he's only in grade 5, and he's like, Mom, I've got so much homework. And I'm like, Drew, just do one thing at a time. And before he knew it, it was over. Have you ever had days like that where you've had so much homework? And how do you get over it? You just start. And before you know it, it's done. Who's had that? You can show your hands if you've ever had that. You've had that, hey? So, basically is Be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. What you think about is going to control your life. If you say, I can't, if you spend your life saying, I can't do something, guess what? You can't. If you spend your life saying, you know what, I'm going to try, I can, you'll be surprised. You actually can do a lot more than you think you can. Okay, so now I've told you what depression is, and I've told you how your mind works. How can we escape depression? And my prayer today is that I know some of you. I know I've spent some time, special time with some of you, and you've shared that you've gone through a hard time and you don't know how to get through it. So some of you have gone through depression. Some of you are just in a very negative space. You're not depressed. You're not wanting to commit suicide, but you're just not happy. I'm praying that these tools that I'm going to share today with you guys, I pray that they will help. Just want you to know that 3 of people in the world will go through depression somewhere in their lives. That's a lot. I mean, most of us in this room, okay, I know I'm going through it, so I'll get through it soon. But most of you will have gone through depression somewhere in your life. So, how do I escape depression? You start. And now you say, but where do I start? How do I start? God says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get to know God first. Tell him. Tell him when you're having a bad day. Tell him when you're having a good day. But spend time with him. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God says, come to me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God is saying, so that's a good place to start, by spending time with God and telling him. And start recording thoughts. I've actually got my diary, yeah? And I started writing down my thoughts. I've started writing down all the things I feel a bit negative about. I write thankful things that I'm really, really grateful for, like a beautiful day, the sunshine. And I'm not allowed to repeat stuff, so every day I have to find new things to be thankful for. So I'm spending my time, I'm renewing my mind by thinking positively. This 1,000 gifts is another lady, Anne Forskamp. And this lady, when she was a young girl, she witnessed her baby sister, who was 9 months, who got ridden over by a truck. And the little girl died in her mom's arms. And so she grew up depressed. And so she wrote 1,000 gifts, and that is how she overcomes depression. She writes every day, and she's on Facebook, she writes every day on how good God is, and she looks for good stuff, and she's really worth reading if you want to like her on Facebook. She always sends out these beautiful writings. And that's how she's overcome depression, by writing how good God is. So, and you write your thoughts, and you be honest with yourself there. So, you also start being honest with yourself. Don't say to yourself, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm not depressed, be honest. You know what? I'm not always okay. And you know, it's okay not to always be okay. If you read David's story, often, you know, the David, the psalmist in the Bible, he often writes, and I thought he was the most amazing guy, and he often writes that he's going through hard times. And who do I look for? I look for God, because God is my refuge. God is my strength. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Say, you know what, I'm not okay. And then you start saying, why am I not okay? Why am I sad? So just say, for instance, this at the end of this term, you get a fail in your report. You failed. This term, you failed. Obviously, you're going to say, you know what, I feel really bad. I feel terrible. My mom and dad are going to beat me, and I feel terrible. But then you have to be positive, and you're going to say, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? Okay, it's the first term. I've still got 3 terms. Did I work hard in the first term? No, I played Xbox and FIFA 2016 and stuff like that. Okay. And then you say, you know what? I can do better. I've got 3 terms. I can pull up my marks. I can do better. I will be better. I won't play Xbox. I won't be preoccupied with girls or with boys. If you're a girl, okay, and start being honest with yourself. Think about it. Think when you're really down. Think, you know, why am I sad? Am I going to die? You know, am I sad because I'm going to die? Or am I going to be sad because tomorrow I'm going to feel fine? So today I'm just feeling sad. And be honest, like, I'll survive today. Start doing the things that you love doing. I realized that I was in depression when I stopped doing the things I loved. I used to love sewing. I used to love painting. I loved gardening. I loved being creative. And all of that I stopped doing. I would go onto Facebook and like everybody's statuses. I would read stuff about the news. And one day I was just like, what's happening to me? I'm not doing any of the stuff I love doing. And so now I'm doing the stuff I love doing. Let me be honest and say that it's not easy. When you're depressed, you don't have the energy to paint. You don't have the energy to do the gardening. You'd rather get somebody else just to come mow the lawn, and who cares what happens. You don't have the energy to get up in the morning and to go and play sports. You don't have the energy to do your homework sometimes. If you loved home, if you loved school and you go through depression, you can't. You can't get yourself to sit down and study. So start doing the things you love. Hang out with friends. That's one of the biggest ways I knew that I was in trouble was when I realized that I didn't want to speak to people. I didn't want to hang out with people. I would rather just sit in my room on my own. It was too hard to sit and everybody was laughing and I was too tired to laugh. And now I'm doing that. I'm sitting and I'm listening to people and I'm laughing with them. But it takes a lot of effort. Start loving again. You know, when you're in love, who's ever been in love? Show me your hands. Who's been in love? You've been in love. Oh, yes, you've been in love. I know you have. You have. You've been in love. I know you guys have been in love. I just look into your eyes and I can see the little hearts and woo and the sparkles. And okay, we've all been in love. And when you're in love, don't you feel like you could conquer the world? Hey, don't you think the world is the most beautiful place? And yes, you do. Christelle, I know you do. When you're in love, you feel like you could do whatever. Okay, and I want you to go back. Now, I'm not asking you to start relationships. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to love. Love your friends. Give your friends a hug. Tell your friends that they're the best thing that ever happened to you. Tell them that you so appreciate them. And is it macho to do that? Say, hey, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being such an awesome friend. It's macho. Hey, it's cool to do that. Hey, love your friends. Girls, give your friends a hug. The one day, Pastor Mark and I were coming to church, and we were having a fight. Sometimes we have fights. And we were having an argument, and I wanted to stay at home. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to be here. And he's, but you have to because it's your job. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. And he's like, but it's your job. And I'm like, I need a day off. I need a mental health day. And he's like, no, you have to come to church. And I came to church. And I came upstairs, and I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the girls from our youth. And this girl gave me the biggest hug. She squeezed me. She was so happy to see me. And you know that immediately that sadness that I was feeling lifted. Do you know that hugs are actually therapeutic? So if I hug you, I'm sorry. I need it. You maybe don't, but I need it. So if you get a hug, sorry. Okay, so love. Give your friends, give the guys, if you're a guy, give them a hand squeeze or whatever. Okay. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. I reckon that this is also a huge factor why we suffer with depression. If you've done something wrong and you go to your friend and you say to your friend, you know what? I'm so sorry, I really blew it. Please forgive me. And your friend says, it's nothing. You're forgiven, it's cool, everything's right. Doesn't that feel good? Hey, when your friend forgives you just like that. And we need to forgive our people that hurt us. People on Facebook write ugly stuff about you. You need to forgive them. When your friend sends you a break or when a boyfriend or girlfriend sends you an ugly WhatsApp, forgive them. You don't have to go back to them. You just forgive them and just say, you know what, I move on. On WhatsApp, when you have, and I know, I've read some of this stuff, when there's a bit of bullying and stuff on on WhatsApp and stuff like that. Forgive those people. And it's amazing how you will overcome stuff. And God promises that if you forgive, he'll forgive you. So when you blow it, he'll forgive you very quickly. I know that sometimes the hurt and all the frustration and the depression can be so bad that even though I've given you a whole lot of tools to do, sometimes you need counseling. Sometimes you need somebody who knows how the tools to get you out of that hole. You know, they've got the pixels and the ropes and stuff, and they'll show you how to get out. And so if you are stuck in depression, if you're stuck in this bad space, and you've tried speaking to God, you've tried all this stuff, and it hasn't helped, won't you please find a counselor? There's us, there's the three of us, and I'm sure Ashley can help you as well. There's a whole lot of us that would love to, if you come to us and say, won't you please come for help? I need help. I'm not depressed, but I can't get out of this bad thinking habit. It's like this hole that I'm in. Won't you please come and ask one of us to pray with you and to walk this road with you? Mario, are you going to come help me?
So we're just going to do the first step in this process of breaking out of depression involving God. So what I'd like for you to do is if you are either struggling with depression, you're in something that's just been happening recently or something that's been happening for a long time, or you just want to start thinking more positively or think more positively more often. So if you are in either of those groups, you're either saying, I have been struggling with depression and I'd like today to be the day when I start breaking free from that, when I start moving forward so that this is no longer a struggle for me, or you're just saying, I struggle with negative thinking. I'd like to think more positive thoughts. So if you are in either one of those groups, please stand up. So really, also just to say that, you know, struggling with negative thoughts, struggling with depression is not something that we should be ashamed of. You know, it's part of being a human being and part of the struggle of our daily lives. So it's not, so whether you are sitting down and you do struggle with negative thoughts, you do struggle with depression, just know that it's part of the human experience and it's something that you can overcome, you know, by God's grace, with God's help, and asking other people in your lives to help you in that process. So let's just pray together. Father God, thank you for your love and for your freedom, God. Thank you that in our relationship with Jesus, we can be free from those things that would keep us bondage, that would keep us in chains. We just ask God this morning that you would just set us free from depression, set us free, God, from negative thinking. We ask God that you'd help us to think more positively. Help us to think of ourselves as you think of us, oh God. Help us to see ourselves and to see each other through your eyes, God. Help us to recognize and affirm the value that you've placed on our lives because we are made in your image. God, I pray for every person standing. You know exactly where they are, Lord, in their journeys. You know exactly what they're struggling with. So I just ask that you'd give them wisdom and grace and help to overcome the struggles they face, Lord God, when it comes to negative thinking and depression. Help them, Lord God, to break free. For those who have not stood up, Lord God, but maybe struggling with negative thinking or with depression, Lord God, just minister to their hearts, oh Lord, and just help them to also break free where that is needed. So we just give you praise, God, and we just thank you for your presence in our lives and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. And I just want to tell you again that if you feel, and there's Pastor Mark and Mario and myself, we would really like to walk this road with you. We've had, about a week ago, we had a young guy who's not part of our youth group, not a normal guy, a local, maybe I could call him that, but he spoke to Pastor Mark and was ready to commit suicide. He's the nicest guy, he always is happy, always friendly, and he just sent Pastor Mark a message to say, I'm out of here, I've done it, I can't anymore. And yeah, it wasn't something that we suspected. So I know that there's people in this room who's going through hard times, and I know you've stood up, and thank you for being brave. And if you would like us to walk with you on this journey of recovery, We would love to do that. We'd love to phone you during the day and tell you how much we love you and how awesome you are. And you are awesome, all of you. Okay, so we want, so please, just reach out to us. We can't read your minds. But next week, so you need to come to learn how to overcome or break out of temptation. So there's 5 minutes. If you want to talk, we're available. Or just hang around for a bit. Okay.